Sorry, I was having a little technical difficulties with the microphone here. How are you guys all doing tonight? Let me give those guys a hand for that worship. That was awesome. Well, if you guys don't know, I am Kevin's cousin. I'm his bigger little cousin. And I guess I'd say older little cousin. But I found out last night, actually, that he called me and I got a message that he wanted me to teach. And at first, I was kind of taken off. I knew he was going to Tennessee, but I didn't remember. So I was thinking, why isn't he teaching? And so I said, okay, I'll do that. And then when I figured out what he wanted me to teach, I knew why he wanted me to teach right away, because it's all about humility. And not that I'm the humblest guy. You guys might be taking me wrong on that, because I know that God probably wanted to deal with me on this. So that's we're going to be looking at Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And I know that Kevin taught this last week, and he talked about to love mercy. But before you guys make your way to Micah 6, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18, because that's where we're going to actually start off. So in verse 10 of chapter 18, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then verse 13, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The reason I wanted to start here is because we have a picture of two different types of people. One, an outwardly good person, a Pharisee that on the outward would look like he's doing all the good things. He says that he tithes and he fasts twice a week, and this would have been a very public event for the Pharisees in this setting back here. And then we have a tax collector, on the other hand, which would have been a lot worse than tax collectors in our day and age. They would have been working for Rome, and they would have been definitely keeping money off of the top, so people definitely didn't like them. They would have been a little more up to shady works and stuff. But we see we know that God looks on the heart, and we see here the Pharisee praying about himself and thinking that he's so good, while the tax collector can't even raise his eyes to heaven, but just says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the reason I wanted to start off with that is because as we're going through humility, we know from the latter half of verse 14 that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So either way, we're going to be humbled if you're a child of God. And there's two ways about that. You can either voluntarily humble yourself to God, or he can do it. And the first choice is always going to be the better one, because it's a lot better. So now you can make your way to Micah chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And we're going to be really looking at that latter half, to walk humbly with your God. And the first thing that I want to point out is that in the first part, it says, what does the Lord require of you? So this isn't a suggestion or a, hey, maybe you should do this, but this is a requirement. If you are the Lord's, this is what he requires of you to do. So first, I want to break this up into three parts, and we're going to talk about walking, we're going to talk about humility, and then we're going to be talking about doing those things with God. And so first we have walk, and this might seem a little funny to you, but I actually looked up what walk was in the dictionary. Not that I've never walked before, but I was kind of interested. So I'm going to read to you guys because I wanted to know, you know, what the actual definition, because I know that the Bible definition and the worldly definitions of these things are a lot of times way different. So Webster's describes walking in this way: to move one foot on the ground before lifting the other, as a two-legged creature would do, or by placing 2 feet on the ground before the other, as a four-legged creature would do. And that's the literal translation of walking. But it goes on to say the not literal translation would be to advance or to move, to follow a certain course of life, to be active, to be on an onward progress. And that's really kind of what this is talking about. But it's even deeper than that, because we know that as a Christian walk, that it's a way of life. It's not just, you know, how you walk, how you look when you walk. You know, maybe you've got a little bit of a limp or you kind of do something funny when you walk. But this is really about our responsibility as Christians to how we're gonna portray ourselves to the world and what we're gonna be like. And so we have this responsibility, as I said before, it's what the Lord requires of us. And so, but we know that the way that we're gonna walk, which is the second point, is humbly. And this is definitely a big misconception, is what humble actually means, because it's humbly is just the adverb for humble, and a lot of times the world would portray being humble as being weak or being able to be ran over or not, you know, not being able to hold your ground, or you're kind of just a pushover. But that is completely not what humility is all about at all, and as the Bible would describe it, is completely different. So if you guys now, I'm sorry we're kind of jumping around, but would turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And you kind of have to cross-reference a lot when you're only doing one verse. Otherwise, I'd already be done. So, sorry. But chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So the way Peter describes this in 1 Peter is that we're not humbling ourselves to the point of being walked over or that, but that we're humbling ourselves under the Lord. And that's a lot easier to do, and we're going to go into the context later of humbling ourselves to people, but first we got to start by humbling ourselves to the Lord before we do that. And it should be very easy for anyone to humble yourself to the Lord, because he's the Lord, and obviously he's a lot better than you. So, but with that in mind, and he'll exalt you. So to be exalted is to be lifted up. And so the way that I see it, the way that this is worded, is that if we admit that by ourselves, in our own fallen nature, in our flesh, that we can do nothing, then God will give us the strength through him to empower us to do all things. And so by humbling ourselves, we're not being weak, but therefore we're not doing things in the flesh, and we have the strength of God at our disposal. So it's actually, by humbling yourself, you're becoming like superhuman and being really strong. So humility isn't weakness. It's exactly the opposite. And then third and most importantly, the with God. Because if you're gonna have a walk, and you're going to walk a certain way, and that's going to be with humility, and you're doing that without God, then it would be just as the world would see it, and it would be just weakness. Because without a purpose, without God involved, what's the point of trying to submit underneath other people or putting other people's cares before you or doing any of that stuff? It wouldn't matter at all. Without God, there'd be no purpose for a walk at all. So this is really the crux, the cornerstone, the, you know, the load-bearing point of this verse is with your God. And that's what we want to focus on. And so now we're going to turn to Philippians. And this is the last place I'll have you guys turn. So and it's Philippians chapter 2, and we're starting in verse 1. And since we're talking about God, and obviously Jesus is our representative of what we're supposed to try to live our lives like, we're going to look at how he humbled himself. And so that there shouldn't be a better person to take an example from than Jesus. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, Philippians. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Okay, now I want to pause there before we really get into Jesus's testimony on this, or the testimony of Jesus on this. And look at, these are, in these four verses, we have humility working in the body of Christ, which is going to let us be able to act as a whole instead of acting as a bunch of little spread out people that aren't really doing what God wants us to. And so if we were all doing these things, if we were being like-minded, if we had the same love, being of one accord, one mind, putting other people's interests above ours, doing things for other people, going out of the way for that, our church, as in the United States and as in the world, wouldn't be looked so down upon. It wouldn't be, you know, there's a lot of people that look badly upon the church. And part of that is because of the way that Christians act. That, I mean, you know, we don't, a lot of times you don't open the door for people, or you don't go out of your way to be nice to people. And that can really rub people the wrong way. And if we were all doing this, we would see the church just explode. And so I really want to exhort all of you, and not just you, but me too, to really take these four verses to heart, and that we should be esteeming others above ourselves, and we should be looking out for others and doing these things and trying to work as one. And it's really cool to see this actually kind of happening here. As Kevin's gone, we have Zach and his worship team from the Edge, right? Yeah, coming over to do stuff here. And so we have two different congregations working together, and that's how it should be. That's how it's supposed to be. And so I really wanted to take a second to talk about that. But now in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found of the appearance of man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see here Jesus, who is God, humbling himself, coming not just as a man, but as a bondservant, which is a sacrifice that is a willing sacrifice to place him at that. And then that it says even to the point of death, and even the death of the cross. Now, we know in Hebrews 12 that tells us that despising the shame of the cross, that he endured it for the joy that was set before him. And that joy that was set before him is us, is you guys. It's that fellowship that we're going to be there worshiping with him, that he sacrificed his life so you can have an opportunity to spend your life with him and to spend your life for him. And so the fact that he would do all this, he would humble himself to do all that, for each of us here, it just amazes me. And then that we can be so bullheaded to not want to, you know, just be nice to each other or just be courteous, and let alone that it's our responsibility that we're commanded to do it. So, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured all these things. And that's really where I want to leave us with this. And I know that was kind of short, but really just coming, pulling it all back together to be able to walk humbly with God, to know that he did these things for us because he loves us and he cares about us. And as I close in prayer, I want all of you guys that are Christians to be praying, because I'm going to give people that maybe haven't had that chance or don't know the Lord to be able to make that commitment tonight. So, Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your word, and just for the example that it gives us. And right now I want to pray, Lord, if there be any like the in that first case of the Pharisee and the tax collector that would say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If any of you out here haven't ever done that before, haven't made a commitment to the Lord, you can just slip up your hand right now, and we'll say a prayer with you guys. If there's anyone out here, I see your hand right there. Is there anyone else? Maybe there's someone like the Pharisee that knows God, that's known God for a long time, that has acted it on the outside, but never really turned their life over to Him. If you guys want to do that, you have the chance to do that now also. But just for you that raised your hand, I'm going to say a simple prayer, and you can repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for dying on the cross for me. I ask you now to come into my life, to be Lord of my life, that I would be able to live for you, Lord, and to walk humbly as with you as my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we give a hand for this brother that just accepted the Lord. And right now, these guys are going to come back up. We're going to have a time of reflection and communion, and they're going to sing some more songs and worship the Lord some more.